As creatives, we're all passionate about what we do. And sometimes, for some of us, we're passionate about a lot of things. So how do you build a brand that honors all of those passions and helps you to do more of them?
I want to be nice to people, not just because I want to do cool stuff and draw silly little drawings for them, but also because I want to have my branded reputation.
That's Lucy Mutimer. We can call her Luce. Luce is an illustrator and game developer from Melbourne in Australia. Her life, as she says, has a killer soundtrack and too much caffeine. She's made art for many places, including Lumi Interactive, Vectorstorm, and Normal Wholesome. In this episode, I'm going to talk to Luce about how she's built this brand and how she honors all of her passions and brings them into one cohesive, clear brand. You're going to learn things like how to get clients early in your career, why you need to be learning from others to build a brand that works, how you can translate who you are as a person into an authentic brand, how Lucy rebranded her business recently, and the advantage that might come with not niching down, plus so many other goodies. So, if you're ready, let's start the episode and let's talk to Luce. Okay, hi Lucy, and welcome to Brand Your Passion.
Hello, it's lovely to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
You are so welcome. It is lovely to have you here. The people and I have already heard all about what you are up to right now, but I would love to know a little bit about how your creative journey started, and then we'll get into how you got from there to here. But tell me a little bit about whether you think you have always been a creative. Have you always identified as a creative, or when did that kind of come into your life, I guess?
I think I always was a creative, but I was a creative in a family of sports people, which is very, very funny to me and to them. My mum has this story, like my parents really pushed me to get into a lot of sport as a kid. And I'm just not a sports person, and that's fine. I now have a great appreciation for sport, but at the time I was not. I was always drawing, always painting. Plasticine was a big deal for me. I was super enamored with like Sailor Moon and would try and like trace them like off the TV into my coloring books and stuff like that. But this all sort of culminated with the sport not enjoying and my creativeness in one day after school. I got my local primary school's like little newsletter, and in the back of it, it had portraiture, like graphite pencil art classes. And me being a very precocious 10-year-old, so showed this to my mom and said, I think this should be my sport instead. And I just haven't stopped.
Yeah, you just have treated art as your sport ever since.
Well, yeah, actually, like I see a sports like physiotherapist for my drawing arm now, which is like, so I've really come full circle as
well.
Wow.
That is like hardcore art sporting. So I assume you did the classes, and did that kind of kickstart your illustration journey from there?
It did. My first mentor was with local artist Glenda Wise, who's a watercolor artist, and just she was mentored by Arthur Streeton, which I didn't find out until like 2 years into drawing with her. And I was like, whose paintbrushes are them on the wall? She's like, oh, Arthur's. He was my mentor. I'm like, oh, and I didn't think anything of it because I was like 12. And then like years later when I was studying, I'm like, oh, wow. So I was very lucky to be mentored by her along with a lot of other local children. And it just lit a fire in me. This thing, it brought me so much joy, but I didn't know what drawing looks like. And how I was trained to draw was very traditional, very draftsmanship orientated. But from there, I got super into like anime and manga, which feels like a rite of passage for every alt girl from a small town. Yeah. I got super into comics, I got super into everything else. So I would just study the art in that and just bring that back. And then I was a terrible student. I hit a point in my VC where I was like, I want to draw like for a job. And I'd met like a couple of adult graphic designers, and I was sort of like, there's something there, but I can't do it here. And within like the space of 4 weeks, I overhauled my GPA. I got into a semi-private, I think it is, VC only high school, just like closer to the CBD. And then I went, did a diploma, did a degree in illustration. And I just, yeah, that sort of determined it. And then after that, Yeah, I was just like, okay, cool. I can draw like forever now. And that's just sort of how I did it. And then after all of that, I tripped and fell into video game development, which it turns out very badly needs 2D people to do stuff.
Yeah, interesting. So you went to school for illustration, you said.
Yes.
So then
Yeah.
how, did you start like freelancing and doing illustration work straight away, or did you get into game development? Tell me a little bit about that journey.
Yeah. So yes and no. So my illustration journey, I've been told it's typical now. And looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, that's bog standard and that feels good. At the time, it was absolutely terrifying and I had no idea what I was doing. So getting into the illustration as an industry, I was really lucky. We had a former art director as one of our lecturers in my bachelor's degree of illustration. And she said straight up, you're going to have to do graphic design freelance work to subsidize your illustration work, and you're going to have to make a brand for yourself. That I feel like will come up later. And with that, it was like, okay, cool. And it was like, how do I get graphic design work? Because at the time, Tumblr was huge, but I was in Australia. I couldn't just go. And at the time, remote work isn't what it is now. So it was like, well, I don't really want to move to the US and go do like storyboarding at Cartoon Network. That sounds amazing, but it's a bit out of reach. So what's my version of that? And the teacher very kindly told us, well, it's freelancing. You get an agent if you can, and do all the grunt work beneath as many art directors as you can until you find what sort of matches where, and create your portfolio along the way for the work that you would like to get or that you enjoy doing the most. So that's sort of how that started for me. In my last year of my art school journey, I was also working casually part-time for a certain bath bomb company that is pretty cool. And just because it was so much smaller than what it is now in Australia, I was able, like, I met the CEO and she was like, I really like your drawings. Do you want to do the staff Christmas cards? Do you want to do, like, I'm going to talk to people in the UK. Let's see if we can set you up with doing stuff there. UK stuff didn't end up happening, but I started doing just Christmas cards for all the staff and they would get it printed and send it out and they would credit me every single time. And then because of that experience, I took that to an agent and she was just like, cool, and started setting me up in all these different places, doing these different things. And my mum at the time was a barista, and she happened to one of her customers was the art director for World Vision Australia. And he was like, yeah, I need a junior. So I started, that's how I started getting into corporate graphic design very, very fast. Yeah, just it happens. Like it's very much typical when you start out in these things, nothing happens for months. And then when it all happens, it just pours. I remember feeling equal parts relieved and incredibly overwhelmed.
Yeah, I
Yeah.
was actually going to ask you about like the World Vision and Lush clients because I'd seen them on your website and I was curious about how they had come about. And it sounds like it was just like being in the right place at the right time, having the good
Yes.
networks. Like, yeah, I mean, it sounds good.
Yeah, I cannot stress enough. I was very lucky very, very early on in my career that I met these people, but also that the places that they worked at were smaller at that time, which allowed me to have very human interactions with them, which is something that it's my number one advice I give to juniors now, or it's something that like I try and keep with me when I'm at like networking things and all of that, is that you can be the best artist in a room, but if you in the kindest way possible, if you're an asshole, no one wants to work with you for reasons that relate to you're just not going to be friendly to be around day in and day out. But also, like, I don't know if I can collaborate with you. I don't feel safe collaborating with you. I don't feel open and vulnerable to share my ideas or even just noodle on something together. So for me, it felt very, very organic. I love people and I very clearly love to talk. So for me, it's very much an extension of that. But it's like, again, it's like kind of a brand, yeah. Like it's I want to be nice to people, not just because I want to do cool stuff and draw silly little drawings for them, but also because I want to have my branded reputation when people are recommending people. They can go, well, this person has got this, this, and this, but Lucy's also just really good to work with. That to me, especially as I've gotten older and more comfortable as my like art career has been, Yeah, I want that to be something that's associated with me, that I'm good people to work with. And hopefully I am. I like to think that I am, but hopefully I am.
I'm sure you are. If people are saying that you are, then I'm sure that you are. And I think people definitely underestimate the power of that. Just being a good person can actually go a really long way. Yeah, when it comes to your brand is reputation. That's what it is. What you're known for, what people think of when they think of who you, like your name, or they see your name somewhere. So if when someone recommends you, or they hear your name, or whatever, and all of the things that come up positive about how they've had a really fun time, it's been really easy, they love talking to you, like that is great branding. So just show up and be
It is.
a nice, great, fun person is powerful.
It's branding without like some of the capitalist ickiness that can come with making yourself as a brand. It's pretty easy, but also it's just like it's a way to brand yourself that also makes you look inward, which is always nice. The self-care person in me really likes that.
Definitely. And it sounds like also what contributed to getting some of those early clients is also you just putting your hand up and saying, like, hi, I'm Lucy, and this is what I do, so that those people obviously knew that you were available for that kind of work, and also saying yes to those projects, right? It's to being open and saying, like, heck yeah, I'll try that. I'll make some Christmas cards. I'll do this thing for World Vision. And then that just kind of compounds over time. So that's awesome.
Yeah, it's that, oh, I'm really going to show how millennial I am. But it's that Hamilton thing of don't throw away your shot. You've got one for some clients sometimes. There are some things that will come back in different ways and in different forms. But early on in your career, if you have a client approach you that is someone that excites you, the project excites you, you cannot let those insecure feelings or that anxiety be like, don't do this. They've approached you for a reason. And it's because they want to work with you. So embrace that. Have a bit of a anxiety moment after you've sent the email saying, I would love to work with you. How does Monday sound?
And then you're like freaking out in the
Yeah.
background
Then
afterwards.
that's when you put on grand designs. If you're me, you just have a very strong cup of tea.
Yes. Yeah, incredible. Okay, so you got these first initial clients and got into illustration. You mentioned that your tutor, which I'm so impressed that they were talking to you already about your portfolio and your brand and all of that, because I hear so many people talk about how they got none of that at school. It was really unhelpful. So I'm very impressed that you got that. But so she was talking about having a brand and working on that. So is that when you first started thinking about your brand, and what did that look like? Did you do design? Did you do any strategy? Tell me about that a little bit.
So it's funny that you mentioned that no one does this because they don't. That's my spicy hot take on the art on art schools. She went out of her way to dedicate portions of her class to this because she realized it was not happening. She was excellent. The first time that this, I think, sprung in her mind that we weren't having these broader discussions about this, and that we weren't, like we were talking amongst ourselves, was we had a student exhibition and we were asked as part of a mini assignment, write an artist statement about yourself. Now, writing a cover letter is pretty bloody hard on a good day, let alone a cover letter about yourself, your very personal artwork that is condensed to like an elevator pitch and maybe like a couple of lines after that about yourself and about the work that you produced. So none of us had any idea what we were doing. Like she told us, like, I'm not naming names, but I got back some artist statements that were 2 pages long, which this isn't your fault. Like, this clearly is not. This is a failure on us. So, okay, let's start with an artist statement. And then after artist statement, at the time, I think I mentioned earlier, Tumblr was bloody huge. There were so many Tumblr famous artists that are now very legitimate, very established. Like, they do some really cool things. They were just starting out, but something that I noticed with them and like my friends who I still like draw and collaborate with now, we all noticed was they from the get-go, they were still figuring out their stuff, but they knew that they had to have something that was like a logo, a business card, maybe a little merch store because they were getting all this traffic. So they had to divert it somewhere to make money and just to their portfolio. So we would look at that, bring it back to this lecturer. And it was like, okay, this is the modern version of this. Let's start building this with something that's like an Australian, because I'm Australian, relevant career. So after that, we did like a response to a brief assignment. I remember I was really just feeling my emo oats, and I submitted a redraw of a Paramore album.
Oh my God, amazing.
Yes. Hayley Williams, if you are listening, I would love to draw for you, please, and thank you.
If Hayley Williams is listening, I'm gonna lose my mind.
If Hayley Williams is listening to this podcast, hi, we love you.
Yeah, biggest stands of all time.
Yep. Second of all, hair dye company, great. Thirdly, we would like to work with you.
Our official pitch to Hayley Williams,
We are
the
very nice. Please hire us.
end.
Speaking of branding, so yeah, we just had to, it was like, do these assignments. And then it was, okay, how do these assignments fit in with what you want to put out there on the internet to represent you or in a portfolio? Okay, you can use a Tumblr as a portfolio, but you have to lay out your Tumblr in a way that's readable. So it was just like very building blocks of that kind of thing. And then we had my favorite class, which I've been told nobody else got, which was for 3 hours. This class block was 3 hours long, and it was set yourself up as a sole trader and get an ABN in this class and
Wow.
get your tax file information set up so that way you can do paid work and not have the government hunt you down for unpaid income tax. Because, and she was
Man.
like, because I know a bunch of you are doing PayPal commissions for Americans and Canadians and Japanese people and everything. So like, you have to be able to, like, you will get found out.
Yeah, I love this person, by the way. Like, all shout out to
Yeah,
your
her
two.
name is Annie. I've forgotten her last name, but yeah, Annie
Wow.
was awesome.
Well, hail Annie for doing that because yeah,
Power
I
to
at Design School never heard any of
Annie.
that stuff in our
Yeah.
classes, and nobody that I know learn any of that stuff. So I am like so impressed with her.
Yeah, every day I like cling on to this knowledge. Like, I have people messaging me now being like, how do you set up like your sole trader status and stuff like that? I'm like, well, I learned when I was like 20, so let's see if this holds up, sort of thing.
Yeah, amazing.
But yeah, so it just went from there. And because we were doing that, I was like just looking around and everything around this time as well, because I liked what a lot of the artists were doing. But I wanted something a bit more slick for myself in the beginning. And because I wanted my art to very much fit into a mold, which is something that I have broken a bit more out of, like in terms of pushing myself and everything and what I create online versus for myself, was how do I, like, I wanted something slicker. I wanted something, because this is the time where like Instagram was also emerging. So really encasing myself in amber with this, but like, how can I make things look professional so people are like, in the kindest way possible, this person's not just doing art commissions on the internet. This person is like, I can put them in an office, because I knew at the time I have bills to pay. Like, I can draw all these really fun things for myself and like for others. That's cool. But what happens if all my Tumblr commissions go away? I'm going to need a job where I go into an office. So I wanted the brand. So I actually started studying how at the time makeup influencers were branding their YouTube accounts and Instagram. And I noticed they were using certain color palette setups. They would only associate with certain brands that they felt would represent them as a brand. And they would use certain filters for certain things. Their grid layouts became very important. Their websites would reflect that grid. They would have a business email. They wouldn't put their phone number on the internet, stuff like that. And I was like, there's something here that I think really resonates with the fact that I want an established career. At the time, I wanted a very 9-to-5 in-office structure. This, I think, fits that. And that was the beginning of it. My work was very, very pink and girly and feminine at the time. So it was pretty easy for me to slot into something like that. And from there, it was just a process of chopping and changing. So that's how I sort of got started.
That's amazing. And I'm
Yeah.
impressed that you took it upon yourself as well to research that and take it seriously and find out for yourself what is working, what is not working. I think it's a good testament to you that you did that. And I
Thank
think
you.
it's something that a lot of people can learn from now is do the research, see what people are doing, see what's working, see what's not working, and look at your own stuff and see, okay, this part's working, this part's not. Here's what I can change, here's what I can adapt, and then move forward from there. So I think that's awesome. So how has that changed till now? You have a beautiful logo now. I
Thank
assume that you drew that as an
you.
illustrator.
I did.
So how was that process of rebranding, redesigning your brand to what it is now?
Deeply uncomfortable. So I'd gotten to a point where everything was so slick and polished and shiny, it actually didn't feel authentic. And if I changed anything, it was so starkly different, it didn't look good. With that as well, like online internet trends changed. Like we had the pivot to video. Anyone who's ever worked with a Facebook adjacent thing knows how painful that was. Or even if you were just a user, honestly, that was painful. So it's like, okay, a lot of new different things have to happen. And just like with fashion, art trends change as well. Art movements throughout history have shown us this time and time again. And I wasn't that person anymore. And I felt that I was really good at replicating other brands. I wasn't good at being myself. And I noticed when I wasn't being myself, my traffic and engagement were down, which does mean less moolahs. It also meant I didn't feel good going on social media and I didn't know how to adapt. And I just actually started feeling really crummy about like just branding online in general. But I knew I needed something. I was starting to do talks and I was starting to do game dev work as well. And I was like, I need a hub that isn't Twitter. Game devs love Twitter. They use it as their version of LinkedIn. And I'm like, well, I'm using Twitter a lot and I'm thinking about that and how that looks to other people and how I come across. It's much more casual there. That's what the vibe is. How do I translate this and who I am as a person and how personable I am into an authentic brand? And that became like, okay, you're an illustrator. Let's have illustrated assets. What do you like? Like, what do you like and what do you think would represent it? So that's where like I'm obsessed with cryptozoology. It's complete junk science, but I love that like these people, like I love the Loch Ness monster. Like I have Loch Ness. I think my only Google alert is for the Loch Ness monster, which really says a lot about me. And like I'm obsessed with all of that. So for me, it was like, okay, well, like the jackalope's really cute. I love jackalopes. I have a jackalope tattoo. That's pretty iconic looking. Let's draw something with that and let's see if we can get something out of that. And then the other assets, because it's like I want assets in different areas of this website. It needs to flow on. And I was really vibing with like the resurgence of like Art Nouveau, but also like spooky, witchy things coming up. Like I wear a lot of black and like I'm a little spooky myself, but I didn't want it to be like a goth portfolio website because that's not me either. So I was like, okay, let's make this a little bit rock and roll, but a bit softer. And it just sort of started taking shape from there. And I narrowed it down to some colors that felt like me, but weren't too overly like girly and feminine because I'm not that anymore. It felt like a bit fun as well. It just felt authentic. And from there, I developed my website. I developed branding. I rolled out across all things. I also reassessed what social media I focused on. Instead of trying to do everything, I think I only do three now, which has been so much better for my mental health. And I use Twitter. I'm getting back into Instagram because I don't know if you know this, but someone purchased Twitter and they've not been doing a very good job. And I'm getting back into Instagram because they're putting the focus back on photos again. And also, I missed having a nice looking grid, and my family can easily see my art this way. So that's kind of nice. And then, as well, I use TikTok, but not in a way that I adhere to any content schedule. I just throw up because the art program that I predominantly use, Procreate, has an amazing feature where you can export 30-second time lapses of something that you drew. And I just export that. And I'm like, if I'm going to use this, the algorithm on this app is super punishing unless you post like 100 times a day. I'm not going to do that. I don't have the stamina. So instead, I'm just going to export it with some cute lo-fi music just when I want to. And that's the strategy for that, in that it's not a strategy very intentionally, because my brain hurts. And then the other two, like on my Twitter, it's very much like a casual, cool catch up with me, but focused on art and game development. And then the occasional, like, silly talk from me about like interests I have and dog photos.
Of course.
That happens a lot. And then, yeah, Instagram is just purely art that I want to showcase on that platform. And for the both of those, I have a post schedule as well for art. So, yeah, it's become that. I'm much happier with this way of doing things. Yeah. I think it's got a lot to do with my philosophy with like working in development and professionally in general is as an artist or as a creative, once you release something, especially digitally out into the world, it no longer belongs to you. People put their own opinions on it, their own feelings and feedback on it. Sometimes people save it to their desktop and set it as their desktop background. That's really nice and warm and fuzzy. Sometimes people do kind of nefarious things with it. That's not good. But ultimately, it no longer belongs to you. It's up for interpretation. So for me, this allows me to choose what I release out into the world while also having a little bit of a barrier as well, I guess.
Yeah. It's a
Yeah.
very healthy approach, and I like
Yeah,
that.
thank you. It was not healthy for a very long time, so I'm glad I'm here, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of people go through that process, and it's, yeah, just amazing that you've found a way to make it work for you. And it sounds like whether you like intentionally knew this or not, you did a lot of strategic thinking, what I would call brand strategy, before you did any of the actual doing. You were thinking about, like you said, what feels authentic to me? What do I really like? How do I want to come across? What do I want people to think? What's going to feel fun for me to do? What platforms do I enjoy showing up on? How's that going to work for me? That's all really strategic stuff that is, yeah, awesome. So did you think like I'm doing strategy, or was it just things that you were thinking of along the way?
At first, I was like, it is strategy time. Like, I was so like zeroed in
Yeah.
focus. I was so type A about it. And now I'm just like so much more relaxed on it. Because if I get too intense on it, then it doesn't feel like me anymore. It feels like a robot version of me, and
Yeah.
that's not what I want to put out there. So I do it in blocks. Like, so I'll just be like, oh, like a social media content calendar. I'm like, this is what times I'm posting my art, is how I approach it. When I'm doing like the amazing brand checklist that you have on your beautiful website, I like that because it's a conversation rather than, this is what you're doing. This is how you're doing it. Like, you know, like a war table. I need a warm and fuzzy like conversation to plan out
Yeah.
how I want the world to look at me.
Yeah, incredible. And so, as you were talking about that, you were talking about how you do development and then also your own work and design or illustration work for games. I'm interested in how, especially when you were thinking about how you wanted to show up and all of that, how you sort of balance those different audiences that you have or different results that you're wanting to get, because some you're trying to get clients, some you're maybe trying to get contract work or something, or maybe you're trying to get people to buy your work. So how did you think about, or how are you thinking about, if at all, balancing those different things, parts of your brand?
It's actually my biggest anxiety as a person with a brand,
Right.
because ideally everything's very neat and fits into one little box. It's pretty nice. I don't, so I'm trying to find comfort in that.
Yeah.
But in a game space, it's great because most artists, especially younger artists in the industry, predominantly use just ArtStation for their portfolio, or they'll use a Tumblr and that's it. Whereas I have a very branded website, I have a Twitter, I have all these things. So I look different just when you hold them up, like two up against each other. Not that's not saying I'm doing it better. It just means I'm doing it different. So if you there's an immediate difference, so therefore you're going to have an immediate opinion on how I'm presenting myself. That has worked in my favor. It's also worked against me at times. But how I have to segment it is, I'm just like, okay, cool. I did a big website cleanup at the start of the year. So it was like, put your game section in one area. If people want to see the specific highlights of that work you've done, have a private offline portfolio that you can send to them. Because of course, in game development, NDAs are a big thing. And sometimes if you say, I have a private portfolio, that's a lot more warm and fuzzy for someone who isn't on the art team to hear, but is in charge of making those NDA decisions. For design, I keep it separate as well. And then illustration, I treat very much as a very personal part of my thing. And I just kind of throw it out there as being very much me, even when it is commissioned client work. But then again, if you're commissioning me for like client work rather than contracting me for game development, the inherent work of illustration, feels a lot more personal when both people post it, because it's like their project, their idea, their concept reinterpreted using my taste, my skill, and my just vision with it, working with them. So it's already a bit more personal than saying like, hey, I worked on this game. So that allows like a pretty clear visual separation as well. So that helps. Is segmenting like this the best idea? I don't know. But I also, the more 2D artists in my predicament I meet, the more I'm of the consensus that like this might just be the best way right now to do this. I'm sure someone will come up with a better way of doing this, and I cannot wait to meet them so I can absolutely do that.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, you said this maybe it's not ideal to have all these different things, but I think it's very normal for creatives. Yeah. Maybe there are different industries where it's normal to be like, I do this one thing for this one certain person.
Yeah.
But creatives are like, I do 5 to 10 different things for all these different people because I love it all.
Did you have like,
so you're just like classic multi-hyphenate people, yeah, right?
You know, the like, did you ever have like the hats, like personality hats in like primary school? It's like that. It's like, look at all these hats I'm wearing. Some jobs maybe wear 1 or 2, and in this job I'm wearing 8. And I would like to have less, but unfortunately my personality and career have said no. And that's just honestly like my work now as a 2D artist and illustrator in games is one day I'll be doing user interface icons, like just 200 icons that have to, the focus is on readability rather than making like the Mona Lisa, but tiny. And then the next day it's, Luce, we need concept development for this character, but it has to like be done in a couple of days. And I'm like, great, for first pass. And then after that, it'll be, hey, we actually need key art that we're going to actually release and say that it's concept art. And that's when I get to like do a proper fair dinkum illustration of my work. But it changes so much. Those are just 3 things that I could do in my job at any given day. Sometimes it's nowhere near as glamorous as that, like doing Steam capsules, which I mentioned in our talk offline. And just like merchandise, even for game studios, like the second, it's so cute, the second they get a 2D artist in, every time, like 3 months in, it's like, oh, we can make t-shirts. And it's like, yes you can. You have that power now.
Amazing. So, so it's definitely, I think, can be an advantage is what it sounds like you're saying. And what I agree with is that, you know, it can feel like there's this pressure to like niche down and just do this one thing and just be known for this one thing. But actually, maybe as a creative, for you and for some other people, it might be the most advantageous thing for you to do, to just embrace all the things that you love and all the things that you're really good at, and figure out a way to just be clear about that, so that you can get all these opportunities that maybe need you to be able to switch different hats or be able to jump into these different roles when you want to. So yeah, it's definitely a good thing too.
it can
release that kind of pressure, maybe, of feeling like I have to just cull out these 5 things that I love to just do this one or whatever.
And it's also sometimes you might want to put the things that you love into a new space. And sometimes, again, like you don't, unfortunately, like 15-year-old me would be really disappointed with this, but you don't get offers to do band album artwork every day of the week, or you don't get offers to do like a cool t-shirt design for a game studio every day of the week. Unless like you're very, very wildly successful in those very niche fields. So you can't say, like, don't let your anxiety stop you from saying yes to that. Just do it. Just do it and figure it out, because you don't know how good your art is going to look on those things until you're in the process of actually making it. Or just like other creative things. Like, you don't know how good your typesetting is going to look in those situations.
Yeah, definitely. Especially like early on in your career, if you are trying to figure out what you love, or just kind of getting into the ladder or getting into the industry, then saying yes, trying those lots of different things can be the best way to get started.
Yes.
Okay, so to wrap things up, I have a couple of questions for you. The first is, what do you think is the biggest lesson that you have learned so far about branding your passion?
I have 2, and I'll keep them short. One is, please learn what income tax is if you want to do anything. My God, please learn what it is.
Yeah.
And my second piece of advice, which is adjacent to that, is also learn what copyright laws are and what permissions actually mean. Because it's all fun and games until you get a cease and desist from a company I don't think I'm allowed to name, because you used the word vil in a title.
Oops. Yeah. So very practical lessons, unfortunately, maybe learned through.
These are the boring lessons, but please learn them.
Yeah, but the very good ones. Or if you're not going to learn them, at least get like an accountant or a lawyer who does know them can tell you.
Disclaimer, I don't know what math is. I have an accounting service that does mine for me.
Yeah, I have an accountant also, because that is not my area of expertise.
Yeah.
Okay. And so last question is, if you could give other creatives, which might be similar or might be a little bit different, if you could give other creatives a piece of advice about building and growing their brand, what do you think that that would be?
Be authentic, but remember what you put out there, other people will interpret. And they may interpret that in a way that doesn't sit comfortably with you or that you don't even like or is incorrect. But on the flip side, they may interpret it in a positive way. Like they might really vibe with it. They might be like, yes, that person's friend-shaped. They are perfect for this project. So make things authentic, be yourself, but look at like yourself as a brand and be like, okay, like what's relevant for me to put pop out there? And that also allows me, especially if you're a marginalized person, it allows me to be safe, but also have fun on the internet. Yeah.
Yeah,
It's also a
amazing.
very teacher-based lesson.
It's beautiful, a beautiful lesson, a beautiful piece of advice, and one that I think, yeah, everybody needs a reminder of. So thank you so much. And thank you so much for this whole episode. I have loved just talking to you and learning about you and hearing all the things that you've learned along your journey so far. And I know
Thank
that
you.
people are going to love hearing this, and lots of other artists who are in similar places to you or earlier in their journey or even further along will learn so much from this. So I really, really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for talking to me today. This was really fun. This was really cozy. I really had,
Yay.
this was a great time. Yeah.
Oh, good. I'm so glad. I always try to have fun on these episodes. You know,
Yeah.
someone,
Yeah.
my podcast editor was like, I love editing your episodes because I just hear you laughing all the time. Like, yeah, that's just me. It's just who I am. So I'm glad you had a
Yeah.
great time. Do you want to tell the people, like, I'll put all your links and everything in the description and all the goodness, but do you want to tell people what you have going on and what
Yes.
you want them to check out, please?
Yes. Oh my God. Speaking of being in segmented places, this is where you can find me in a few different places. You can find me on Twitter as Lucy Crime Fighter. You can find my website, Lucy Mutimer. But most importantly, two of the games I am currently doing some work from, you can wish list on Steam or download. They are Kinda World, which is available for iOS and on Google Play Store, and MMORPG Tycoon 2, which is available on Steam. So
And
yes, those are things I'm working on.
I highly recommend Kinda World. It is so cute. I just
It's
love like watering my little plants and doing the little, you have to do like little gratitude things to be able to feed
yes.
your plant. And it's so nice and wholesome and yeah,
It's just
beautiful.
they're also like to draw for. It's like, can you draw this? And I'm like, I will draw anything for this app.
Absolutely.
I would ride or die for Sammy the dog.
Yes, yeah. So disclaimers, there's dogs, there's plants, there's decorating your house, there's like really wholesome gratitude things. So like
Yeah.
perfect, brilliant
It's
game all
perfect.
around.
Perfect
And I'm
game.
sure
No notes.
the other game is also wonderful. I just haven't played
It is. It's also
it
amazing. It's
myself.
a really silly and fun sim game, simulation game. So if you love those, especially like of the Roller Coaster Tycoon 2 era, you will love this. So absolutely go check
Incredible.
them
And
out.
you can keep an eye out for Lucy's work in there. So, okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thanks everyone for listening. And we will see you in the next one.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Brand Your Passion and choosing to spend time with me learning all about branding, business, and all things creativity. You can find more episodes just like this one at makeitandmoxie.com/podcast. If you like this one, you can tap that subscribe or follow button so that you're notified about each and every new episode. And if you've got a spare second, please leave a review on iTunes or wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast, because I would absolutely 100% love to hear from you. If there were some helpful goodies in this episode for you, it would mean the world to me as well if you could screenshot that podcast player right now, hop on over to Instagram or Twitter, and tag us at Maker and Moxie. By subscribing, reviewing, and sharing, you're helping reach more creators just like you, so that together we can make the world a more creative place, one brand at a time. We can't achieve this mission without you, so your support means the absolute world. I will talk to you in the next episode, but until then, keep creating.